appreciate Chuck getting these things ready for me. I'm still not used to a laptop. I'm a little bit different from the home computer. So I don't want to pray somebody else's material pray and mess it up. So that's one of the problems I have. So it's good to see this many out this evening. If you turn your book to Isaiah, your Bibles, and the sixth chapter, or fifth chapter, we'll be reading from there in a little bit. Introduction of the lesson is, there's nothing wrong in America. And many will see this message and say, amen. Because we see America as a great nation, and there's purely nothing wrong with this country that we can't take care of on our own. We are seen as being great, powerful. We are the life, or we want us the lifeguard of all nations. We protect them as we need see fit. People look highly upon us in most nations. There are a few that don't, but most majority do look highly upon America. Yet others will say, amen to this. But they see American morality that is going to the dogs. And the American people are sitting back and condoning the evil that is taking place within this country. There is a degenerating morality that is evident within the American culture today. And each step that we take as a country, it gets a little easier to take the next one. Seeing a cartoon years ago when preaching down Powhatan out of a bulletin. It showed this tent, this man sitting inside a tent, and the camel standing outside. And it started to rain. All of a sudden, you see the nose of that camel inching its way into the net, into the tent. Man didn't stop it. Next thing you knew, the head was sticking inside the tent. And then the next scene was half the camel was inside that tent. And then the next scene after that was the man sitting outside in the rain, and the camel was inside the tent trying to keep dry. Well, that's how sin is. It creeps in a little bit at a time. We let little things go. And when you eventually let it go on long enough, these things get to be blown out of proportion. And it's been so much changes that I've seen and us older ones have probably seen through our lifetime within this country that we have let more things go on than should be going on within our state. Our morality has really fallen apart in the last few years, and we need to understand that. We've gotten to the point as we we're about to read in Isaiah the fifth chapter, beginning in verse 18. It says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope. That said, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to the drink wine, and men of strength that mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for the reward, take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, if as the fire devoureth the stubble, the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. The fact that we need to understand that throughout these verses, Isaiah is trying to get the tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel, how they stand before God. There were men that were trying to add sin upon sin, perversion upon perversion. They were trying to let things go on that was contrary to the will of God. In verse 18, it says, ungodliness is pulled by cords of falsehood to which they harness themselves. People have gotten to the point that they believe just about anything that they just like to hear. And we have people today that are the same way. They will try to listen to God and His holy word, but yet turn around so it will fit to them. In verse 19, they defy God to do anything about it. Have you known individuals say, well, you know what? If God really hated me for this, He'd strike me dead now, wouldn't He? How many times have we heard that? How many times have we heard people push God and dare Him to do something to them for doing something? Well, it must be okay. God lets me do it. He lets me get away with it. It's fine. Besides, maybe God is dead. He's no longer around. And He can't do anything about it. He's not strong enough. I'm more powerful than Him. I'm wiser than He is. No man can rebuke, restrain them because they are wise in their own eyes. I get a kick out of these individuals that I think I've heard the nutritional chart change 15 times in the last 40 years. It's not... Used to be, when I was in school, breakfast was the most important meal of the day. Then I heard a few years ago, breakfast is bad for you, it will kill you, you shouldn't take it. You should wait until lunch. Now they're going back to the opposite direction again. It's fine. You need breakfast. How many times have we heard mankind change attitude or teachings on certain things? How many times have we heard these things brought up to be wise? Supposed to be intelligent individuals, but they keep changing things. They think they're wise. They think they're so much better than what God has given to us. We need to understand that when we eat or partake of anything, it's supposed to be in moderation. Not to be a glutton of yourself. We need to understand that. But sometimes people just think, I know better. I know more than God does. Their moral vision is dim. And not only by arrogance and conceit, but also by intoxicating drink. Again, we've taught lessons upon drinking and gambling. And Brother Chuck brought out smoking last week in his lesson. And several other things we become addicted to. It's wrong. Anything that can control us is wrong. I mentioned to somebody years ago that if drinking pop controls your life, you can't quit it, you're addicted to it, you're wrong. Now, so maybe some disagree with me. But with the caffeine and things that are in it, if you can't quit it and it controls you, you can't lay it aside. You can't control it. It's wrong. It is, you got a problem. Verse 23. They justify the wicked and take away the rights of the one who are in the right. How many times have we picked up the newspaper and read where somebody was protecting their home and maybe shot somebody and they were prosecuted for it, and the criminal was allowed to sue the individual who shot him because he was trying to rob the place? How many times have we heard that? How many times have we heard righteous people sometimes get punished for doing what's right? And those who are wicked, they can get away with just about anything anymore if you got the right amount of money. Verse 24, God said their root will rot and their blossom will ascend like dust. In other words, they'll soon pay for this type of attitude. We had that attitude today within our country. We condone perversion and perverts of our time. If you take a look at the most popular TV shows and some of the most popular music stars, they're the most vulgar in our times. I can't think of the group, but I read the other day where years ago, I think back in the 90s, they were a rap group, and they were constantly being arrested for the language they were using, getting back together to start performing again. Because the language barrier has changed throughout the last 20 years. What used to be offensive back then, it's not offensive now. What used to be not allowed on TV is now allowed on TV shows. Words that are being mentioned that years ago you would never have thought of hearing upon the TV set. They would have been shut down. I remember a time when the Smothers Brothers, when they were starting to ridicule President Nixon at the time, was put off the air because they were downgrading the offices of the presidency. Now, you hear it all the time. And you also hear language, like I said, that you had never heard 20, 30, 40 years ago. I like that TV9 and I think some of the other channels are starting to come up with the old TV shows that teaches morality, a little bit of lessons to it. We need to have our kids watch it more than some of the other shows we see on our TV sets. Sometimes they perform in nothing more than undergarments and leave nothing to the imagination. They endorse one vulgar theme after another. They also push for homosexuality and lesbians. You ever see some of the TV shows now? I think CBS is probably one of the worst at it. They seem to be pushing. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to be lesbian. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. You're right. We're wrong. We got the wrong attitude. We need to understand that God's law forbids such. And we need to understand that. There are some TV shows that are advocates of abortion rights. And it's because the stars are popular today because America has made them popular. But we need to understand, how far will we go, let it go, before our society will stand up and say, enough of this. We need to put a stop. This got to put an end to these activities. Our entertainment industry, we continue to push to make a buck. And if they get away with it, they'll push the envelope a little farther. Heard a song years ago. Man say he stood before the Congress. He sat there for 4 or 5 hours. He had never been so ashamed that the congressman would stand there and say, sex and sin is what sells. It what makes the world go round. Without it, we can't survive. So we're going to let it go on. This man was in the song, was trying to get a point across, and he put a stop to it. Now, it's not a true song, didn't really happen. But he figured if he would have done that, in the way the Congress is today, and what I'm seeing from the FCC in the last few years, they wouldn't stop it. They would probably make that statement. As long as we continue to buy these things and support it It'll get worse. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. But evil men and apostles will grow worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. Don't be deceived. Did you think that these things, we'll just let it slide a little bit. We won't say a word. It'll go away. Well, I imagine that man in that tent during a rainstorm and that camel outside, when he started sticking that nose in, he probably thought eventually that camel would just back up and leave. It didn't. And that's what happened with sin. You let it go, you let it fester, it grows some more. It gets worse. As I said, homosexuality is labeled as being good, but the Bible condemns it. If we turn back to Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and beginning with verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast and to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Also in chapter 20 of Leviticus, and beginning with verse 13. If a man also lie with a mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. Thou shalt surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. Thou shalt be burnt with fire, both he and them, that there be no wickedness among you. If a man love a beast, he shall be surely put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. If a woman approach any beast, lie down thereto. Thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, and they shall be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man take his sister, his father's daughter, his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. And they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. And they shall he hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. And if a woman shall lie with a woman, man shall lie with a woman, having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, and hath discovered her fount, and hath uncovered the fount of her blood, both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And it goes on and on, stating the things that are abomination to God. But we see these things going on in our TV sets daily, and we think nothing of it. We need to write. We need to shut that TV set off. We need to shut the radio off. Some of the songs that we hear that describes every activity you can think of. You need to shut it down. You need to be put a stop to it or end. Where have our morals gone? Should not be any surprise that we as Americans like to make up our own rules and laws and establishing acceptable conduct. The word sin creates discomfort. Most people desire it removed from the American vocabulary. Not a sin, it's a sickness. Alcoholism. It's a sickness. It's not a sin. It's not a contrary. It's a disease that you need to work on. Drugs. It's not a sin. These people are sick. They need work with. That's a problem within our country. We have taken these things and twisted them around to make it sound a little bit easier to take, to understand, instead of calling it what it is in the sight of God. Webster defines morals related to dealing with people who make the distinction between right and wrong and conduct. You have people today that can't tell you what's right and wrong. Ask some of them, especially your younger group. What's the difference between right? What's wrong? You may be surprised at some of the answers you'll get. An article by David Schoenberg in Parade Magazine, this back in 1987, contrasted life in the 50s and the life of the 80s. And here are some of the figures he came up with. And you tell me how bad we've digressed. Births outside the marriage relationship in 1950 was 4.5%. 80s, it was 22%. Higher now, if we look at it. If we talk about divorce rate, 1957, 2.2 per thousand. 1984 is 5 per thousand. Now it's 50%. Unmarried couples living together. 1960, 439,000 did such. 2008, 5.5 million. Still growing. Birth to unmarried women. 1970, it was 11%. 1994, 33%. Single mothers, never married. 2008, 4.2 million. 1.3 million children are born out of wedlock each year. Number of unmarried couples living together, again, 2008, 5.5 million. And unmarried couples living together that were male-female union, 2008, it's 89%. What's the other percentage? Professional jobs held by women, 1957 was 35%. Get to the point in 1986, most were held by women. That's 86. Which direction are we going as a country? We need to understand that we are to do the things in accordance to God's Word. Turn with me to Titus, the second chapter. Verses 4 and 5. They may teach young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. These are the things that the older women are to teach the younger. Yeah, there's responsibility for the men too, to teach the younger men. But they need to understand what they need to be doing. Women began leaving their God-given roles years ago. And it got to the point that families left God's moral standard out of the picture when this happens. More and more children are coming home alone after school, trying to take care of themselves. Who's supervising these kids nowadays? How many times have you picked up the paper or watched the news and find out some child's been kidnapped because the parents weren't around? They're roaming the streets. They're in trouble. As I mentioned to you a few weeks ago about the young man that was shot up in Weirton, stealing, trying to break into a store and was shot. The type of lifestyle he had at that time being presented before him. It's no wonder why he had problems. These lessons are not for you, it's also for me. It's for me too. It's a problem that we all have within this country. And we need to understand that. We need to grow up. The Lord rebuked that ancient Israel, especially the priests and the prophets, should serve as a warning for our society. In Jeremiah 6 chapter, verse 15, were they ashamed when they committed an abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. They didn't know how to blush. Is this embarrassing? Junior year in high school. I'm trying to think of the movie now. I think Mrs. Robertson came out. The one about Simon Garfunkel. Sang about Mrs. Robertson. And I can't think of the actor offhand. Anyway, he said, "You're trying to seduce me to the older woman." And they showed her back. And all they showed was the shoulders down to her waist. And I can remember sitting there, turning beet red. I blushed. That's a common sight now. You know that? Go down to the beach. You'll see more than that. Sometimes you don't even have to go to the beach. Just go down to the grocery store and you'll see more than that. What's wrong with this? Where have we gone wrong as a country? We have become a nation, a society, and have forgotten how to blush. Things that were once done in darkness and in secret are now Main Street shows, exhibition. I see people going to a grocery store in their pajamas now. Growing up, I hope some of the older ones remember this. We had school clothes, they had clothes for church, and we had clothes that we wore to go to town in, and then we had our play clothes. We had four sets of clothes. And we dressed for the occasion, whatever we were doing. If I wore my play clothes to go to town, I would have been beat. I've been whipped. If I wore my school clothes to church services, I would receive the spanking. Because that's a disgrace to God. They were trying to teach me how to respect God. But you know what? Throughout the years, we got to the point, we don't care. We challenge God to say, "Dare me to stop." And that's what you're saying. And we need to understand that. Again, we are exposed to vulgarity, profanity daily on TV, radio, and other areas. Paul wrote about the pagan society of his day. Turn with me to the book of Romans, the first chapter. And beginning with verse 26. "For this cause God gave them up to vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which that was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Used to be, if you had a handshake years ago, the deal was made, you knew that person was going to hold to his promise. I remember the first car I signed for. I think I signed three papers to get the loan. Go get a car now. And you almost have to write a book. 15, 20 pages long to get a loan of any type. Why? We can't trust one another. Man, it's become dishonest. Covenant breakers. We got children today raising up, growing up. They're being disobedient to their parents. They rule them instead of the parents guiding them and trying to keep them straight and straight and narrow. Teaching them, loving them as they ought to, because we're too busy. We've gotten away from what we should be doing as a society. And it's because we as a congregation have failed to do what we're supposed to. I don't want to keep you much longer. I'll try to go through this as quick as possible. But the fact is, there's a growing problem in modesty. Most Christians are being pulled in by that society. They haven't developed that sense of shame as we used to have. Christians are to have that sense of shame, deeply rooted in character, expressed by clothing and general conduct. The way we dress, the way we portray ourselves. That's the way we are. We describe ourselves by the way we present ourselves, by the way we dress, by the things we wear. We show our attitude. We show our thinking by those things. 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, and manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety, moderation, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly clothing. Same way with men. They need to dress decently. We need to understand that. What's a Christian to do? Well, it's easy to avoid our responsibilities. And we can blame our failures on the shameless societies that's round about us. Now, point the finger. Their fault. We try to tell them. How far do we try to tell them? How far do we try to teach them? How much do we work with them? Early Christians had to live in worse conditions, yet we're expected to live blameless, harmless. Children of God will have fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 15. The saints at Ephesus lived in a city where a fertility goddess was being worshipped. They had prostitution going on as part of their worship idol. These Christians had to live within that. They seen those activities going on. They had to teach their children, this is wrong. Don't be near that. We're expected to live above the society around about them and bring their children up accordingly. In 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and beginning at verse 7. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, reserved to unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. He gives us a way to get away from those things. He provides a way for us to get involved. And there's activities that are around about us. And although many around us see nothing wrong in America, we need to be focused on what's doing what is right. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us. Willing to die, send His Son to die upon that cross for our sins. And we're putting it to shame. We're neglecting it. We are stepping on it. However you want to put it, we are downgrading what God has done for us by involving ourselves in sin. There used to be TV shows showed a man and wife that were married and they had single beds. They show separate beds. Now, in the movies and anything else that you want to turn on, you see it all. It's there. Things have really changed. And it's really gone downhill within the last 20, maybe 30 years. Around about. But it has really taken a deep slide. And it's because we used to overlook a few things years ago. Maybe it started with the 60s with the me attitude. I want to feel good. I do things because I want to do it. We need to understand how we look before God. And we as a nation are taking the same steps that the Roman government took years ago in their downfall. Please read your history. Please read the Old Testament. Study it. It shows you what will happen to a nation that no longer regards God as their God. It falls. It becomes oppressed. They have all type of problems, famines, things. You think we have learned? We keep making the same stupid mistakes over and over and over. Yes, we can put a stop to the TV show. We need to stop watching them. We can write to the companies that backs them up or pays for advertisement. Used to be that you could write to them and tell them, I'm not going to buy your products anymore if you keep producing this show. I don't see that done anymore. I don't see anybody writing to the FCC and say, put a stop to the language that is being put on TV shows anymore. I think I read an article that said CBS is probably one of the worst ones around in all TV shows, besides cable. That's why I like some of the old TV shows. You don't see that stuff going on. You don't hear that type of language. I also taught you lessons, how to treat one another at times. It taught a lesson at the end of the story. In most shows, they don't do that now. We wonder why our kids are easy to go out and pick up a gun and shoot somebody and think nothing of it. Look how gory the movies have gotten nowadays. The games that they play on their PlayStation and Wii or whatever. Look how gory they get. They show their body blown up. They get used to it. They get immune to it. They think nothing of it. Read an article in the paper the other day where a child shot someone just to see what it looked like. Didn't bother that child at all. Why? Think about it. Think how we stand as a nation before God. Think of how we as Christians stand before God this evening. Pleading with you, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, to hear this word, believe it. Repent. Confess. Be baptized by immersion. Live a faithful life to death to receive heaven as your home. There may be ones here this evening that have done such, fallen away, brought reproach upon themselves, upon God. We need to repent of our sins. Ask God for forgiveness. We'll pray on your behalf. We'll be there to support you, help you out, help you stand for what's right. How you stand? You think about it, you do something about it. If we stand and sing the song, invitation.